Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup Podcast. My name is Joe Glover and I'm very thankful for your time and attention today. Today I come to you from the great outdoors. I'm on the dog walk with my dog Eric and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to record a podcast introduction because that's what you do on dog walks, right? So today's talk is from a wonderful chap called Mark Williams Cook. Now Mark is one of these people that you come across in life who is equally passionate and competent and brilliant at what he does. And what he does is search. He's a search marketer and the agency that he runs, Canda, are really, really good at search. So I'd really recommend you check them out. This talk is all about Google Ads. And I gave Mark the brief to say, what would you do if your client had £500 a month to spend on Google Ads? Which for some people seems like a lot, but other people seems like a little. And really what £500 enables him to do is speak through the very basics of what you would do. And I think what the talk actually conveys really well is that you can do a lot, quite a little, and really drive some really great results. My dog is going mental at the moment, just throwing a stick around, it's amazing. Anyway, I'm going to let you listen to the talk, but the only other thing to say is a big, big thank you to Barry at Bravo Marketing. He's the chap who puts together these podcasts, but he also runs a creative marketing agency who specialise in driving results from content, not just content for the sake of content, which will then sit on your blog. He's a top chap. He's just brilliant. I love him to bits. Barry, I hope you're smiling right now. I love you to bits. So please check them out at bravomarketing.co.uk and enjoy the talk.
Cool. Hi, everybody. My name is Mark and I'm director of a digital agency in Norwich called Canda. One of the things we're fairly good at is turning around underperforming PPC or Google Ads campaigns for people. And that's what Joe's asked me to come to talk to you about. Can I just see, can you put your hand up if you know roughly what Google Ads, AdWords, or pay-per-click is? I'm in the right place. Cool. Pretty much everyone. So I've actually, I've called my talk The Fellowship of the Bing, A Hobbit's Guide to Summering in Mordor. And this is because Joe asked me to talk about AdWords and I was actually babysitting at the time. And you know when you start a show on Netflix and it sort of gives you the warning about the show? It says something like bloody gore, violence, and peril. And I was like, this sounds exactly like running a PPC campaign. So I thought it'd be a really good theme to go on. And can you put your hand up if you've seen Lord of the Rings as well? Because I've spent a lot of time on this. Like 50%, that'll do, okay.
Damn.
So a reminder for those that have, and maybe a quick intro for those that haven't. This is Sauron. He is the main antagonist in Lord of the Rings, and he wants to basically control everyone and everything. So for the metaphor of the talk, we're going to just call that Google now. And Sauron's plan is that he gave out these things, these rings of power, okay? Like gifts to give people power. But he made his own special one ring, which had control over everyone that wore these rings. And we're going to think about these rings like the technology that Google's providing us all to do our jobs. Because obviously they hold all the, they have the one ring here. And he gave these rings to all the different races in Lord of the Rings. So the aesthetically centered elvish race, otherwise known as designers, he gave them stuff like Google Fonts and A/B testing platforms. The race of dwarves, the builders, otherwise known as developers, he gave them... He gave them AngularJS and Google Search Console and Lighthouse and all these great tools to work with, all this power. And then there was the race of men who, above all else, craved power. We'll call them marketers for now. And he gave us the best kind of rings of power. He gave us like Google Ads and all this AI that will tell us what to bid on, how to do it, you know, even how much to spend. And then... The thing that happens in the film is this one ring of power, this one ring, actually ended up in the hands of the hobbits. And for this talk, these hobbits really could control all these developers and designers and stuff because they got the one ring. And it's a bit like clients. So go with me here in that they're the ones that are spending the money, so they've got the power here and they decide where the money goes. And the hobbits live in the film in a place called the Shire, which is just like kind of this pretty local place. So in business terms, it's maybe, you know, you understand your business, you've been running it for years, you understand your competitors, the vertical and who does what. But then you get this whiff of all this great power you could have, and you hear about search advertising and all this. And to forge that destiny, you have to go to this place called Mordor, which sounds really nice. And the trouble is you haven't really been out of the Shire before. And you don't know, as soon as you go out the Shire, you're going to be chased by these things. In Lord of the Rings, they're called the Nazgul. And they're basically these really annoying things that follow you around and try and kill you all the time. But the really annoying thing is you can't kill them. So, a bit like competitors. Not like literally kill them, just as in they're always there, they're never going to go away. And you need to learn. You need to learn sometimes, you know, you have to fight your competitors, and other times you need to kind of just hide under a log and, you know, wait for everything to get a bit better. So if you've seen Lord of the Rings, if you haven't, like all kind of good films, it's they succeed, the hobbits, because they go as a group and they take some humans and dwarves and some elves and they all use their unique powers and knowledge and diversity and overcome, you know, challenges. It's almost like they're a part of a union that would be a stupid idea to leave. And when I spoke to Joe and I was like, well, what do I talk about PPC? It's like a huge subject. He said, focus on small businesses, maybe like if they've got £500 a month or something to spend on PPC. And I was thinking about this in context of this metaphor. And he's essentially said to me, Mark, what would Lord of the Rings have looked like if Frodo just went on his own into Mordor? And I was like, okay, so what happens is, you know, we're in this situation where we feel this is kind of sometimes what we're seeing clients doing, where they're like, yeah, no problem, we can do this. And you speak to an agency and they get you all excited about remarketing lists for search and in market audiences and all this clever technology. And then you say, how much is it going to cost? And the agency kind of looks at you like this and you're like, oh my God, that's really expensive. There's always someone cheaper who will guide you. So Gollum guided the hobbits in the film, but he had his own ulterior motive and he was a bit of a rubbish guide. And sometimes what happens is you talk to a client about the strategy and they decide, you know, and I understand this, you can only do what you can do with the money you've got, that they're going to do it to themselves, do it for themselves, and they're going to go to Mordor on their own. And they're off. And the agency is just like, oh my God. They're so dead. They don't even know it, but they're dead. Right? And then some of them obviously just get bludgeoned to death in Mordor. And sometimes about 3 or 6 months later, they come back with that contract that you spoke about. Just check they've signed it. So sometimes they do come back and they're like, that was a terrible experience. I never want to go to Mordor on my own again. So I'm going to talk to you about Sting, Bing, and the Magic Ring. So does anyone know what Sting is in Lord of the Rings?
The sword.
Yeah, so Sting is the sword. And the sword, the cool thing about this sword was it glowed blue when there was danger. So I want to give you all like a metaphorical Sting sword, which will not turn you into some Google Ads mega warrior, but it will glow blue and you'll know when there's danger and when to hide. I think the first thing we're going to do is just really go kiss the frog, go straight for the guts about how Google Ads works. Again, can you put your hands up if you think you know roughly how Google decides which ad goes first, which goes second, which goes third? Okay, cool, about 10-20%. So we're probably all aware it's like a bidding system. So you have your competitors and everyone decides how much they're going to pay per click. So Red here says, I'll pay £4 to appear on this keyword. Someone else says £3. And it's a bit like eBay. It's what's called a second price auction, which means, you know, if you bid £100 for something on eBay and at the end of the auction, Joe's only bid 20 quid, you don't just suddenly pay £100. You pay just what you need to pay to beat them. And that's a little bit how Google Ads works, but there's a whole other layer that a lot of people don't consider, which is this. Google will give your Google Ads campaign a quality score. Quality score is very handily, they tell us it's three things, which is basically how many people click on your advert. So if a high percentage of people click on the ad that you write, Google will say to you, great job, you're making engaging ads, I'll give you a break and charge you less per click. The ad relevance, exactly basically what Helen said, all of search marketing is built around relevance. So is your keyword you're bidding on relevant to the ad? Is the ad relevant to the site? If it is, you get cheaper clicks. And lastly, landing page experience, which basically means, is the website you're sending people to rubbish or not? So if you send people to a slow loading website on their mobile and it's not mobile friendly, Google will let you do that. But it's going to say, I'm going to charge you a premium for that because you're ruining the experience of my customers. And the other thing they judge you for is a thing called ad extensions or ad formats, which you've probably all seen. So when you have the ad, sometimes they've got star reviews, site links, call extensions, things like this. These are all things you can optionally add to your adverts. And actually, if you add them, it gets cheaper, which is, it seems counterintuitive, like an add-on, like, oh, that's going to cost more. But because you're making a better advert, Google will charge you less. So how it actually ends up looking is everyone makes their bid on what they're prepared to pay for their keywords. Google will rate, kind of give you a quality score, and it will also look at how many ad formats you're using. And from these three things, it will calculate what's called ad rank. Now, it doesn't give you the number for ad rank, so these are just kind of like made up numbers, but the point is, if you're performing well on the kind of ad quality and you're using the formats, you can get a higher ad rank even though you're not prepared to bid as much. So actually, what will happen is you can rank higher than those that are willing to pay more than you. And what happens is, because it's a second price auction, you only need enough ad rank to beat the person that's directly below you. So Google just says, okay, you don't have to pay quite as much, and it will turn down what you have to pay per click, and it ends up looking something like this. So the person at the top might only be paying £1.73, and the second person's paying £2.68. And that's because, say, they're not using any ad formats, for instance. What I want to get across to you is that, firstly, it's not just about what you pay per click, and secondly, that these things are compounded by your own websites. Again, like Helen mentioned about trying to drive people to conversions, if this website converts twice as well as this one, when we factor in how much they're paying for traffic, it means they're going to get their leads or their sales for about four times cheaper, which is incredible. And so we'll have clients sort of coming here to us saying, oh, I don't understand, I'm paying £2.68 per click and it's like, I'm making no money, it's so tight, I don't know how they're affording that. So the point I'm getting across is, if you're going to run your own Google Ads campaign, the end success isn't just going to be inside the campaign. It's going to be the whole thing, your website, the content, the conversion. So I set up a brand new Google account to run through this. If you've never done it before, to sign up to do Google Ads, I thought I'd see what the experience is like. It's a little bit insidious, to be honest. So if you can click start now to get your ad on Google today. Google, these are all recommended default values. Google says, hey, how about spending 10 quid a day? And you're like, yes. Location, pretty simple. Defaults United Kingdom. You could change that to Norfolk very easily by typing it in. And Google says, yeah, advertise, search network, display network, don't know what that is, not ticked, whatever. So next. And then it says, enter around 15 to 20 keywords. So people are like, okay, what's my business about? I don't know, learn Google Ads, Norwich Marketing, Joe Glover, he seems popular, Google AdWords, marketing, hit next, and then it's like, write your ad, fine, simple, headline, a description, and you enter your credit card details, and congratulations, you're spending £300 a month. Let's look at what we won. So if you log into Google, the first thing you'll notice is that by default, all of the keywords we entered are set up on a thing called Broad Match. Broad Match, and Google, by the way, will be like, thanks. Broad Match means that your ad is basically going to show when anyone types in anything vaguely related to what you've put as your keywords. So to give you an example, we had a client come to us, they did job fairs in Oxford. So they were like, Oxford, job fairs, da 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 da. They came to us and they're like, yeah, Google Ads is a bit rubbish. So we looked at what they were spending their budget on, Oxford Dictionary, the search term they'd spent about 30% of their budget on. Oxford University was about another 20%. And then in 3 weeks, they'd triggered around 1,500 different keywords that their ad was appearing for, such as olive oil in Oxford. Answer key of new Oxford Modern English, class 2. And even if people aren't clicking on this, it's still damaging because it means it's lowering your click-through rate, which is putting up your cost per click. So very painful. There's a way around this. There's different match types you can use. So broad match is the default. Phrase match, if you use the quotation marks, means those words have to appear in that order with anything at the beginning and the end. And exact match is roughly what it says on the tin. The other options it kind of did for us automatically, so interesting. I look at the settings, yeah, we want to advertise on search, and it's checked this thing called include Google search partners. What's that? That's basically any website that's opted in to have a Google custom search engine that wants to run their ads. Google doesn't list what these search partner sites are. There's millions of them. Most of them, to be very honest, are rubbish. So we tend to untick that. And when you untick it, Google says, hey, most advertisers include their ads on Google search partners. Yes, they do, because you ticked the box for us, Google. You didn't give us a choice. So untick that. Next, even simple things, right? Location, United Kingdom, straightforward. If we put that as Norfolk, you might think that means only people in Norfolk will see my ad. Nope. If we look at location options, the default is people in or who show interest in your targeted locations. And you think, actually, well, maybe that makes sense. So, you know, I'm on one of my yearly Arctic expeditions and I want to buy my wife flowers, and I Google flowers Norfolk, so I want the ad to come up. In reality, so I've been teaching an AdWords course for about 3 years, and for two of those years, I used this as an example. When I Googled Norfolk flowers, I noticed that the second result was in dollars, because there's a Norfolk in Virginia, in America, and Google had kind of got a bit confused about which Norfolk. So this is because they've left this default setting. So again, it's much better to try and manually specify these things. So basically, if you had one of these sting swords, by the time you'd gone through that three-step automated process, you could probably have a rave with it. It would be glowing blue so much, and you would waste so much money. This is called a palomir, by the way. It's like a crystal ball. So when we meet clients that have set up their Google ads, they've come to us, they have an agency, or they've done it themselves, they're normally at one of three stages of knowledge, which is one, they will know what they pay per click. And I actually saw a report from an agency that someone in this room gave me about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they said, is this report any good? And it said, top performing keywords. And I was like, oh, this sounds good. And it was just a list of which keywords had the most clicks. What does that mean? Well, we don't know. They got clicked on. Is that good? Is that bad? You don't know. The stage where maybe 50% of people are now is they've set up tracking with Google Analytics and they've linked it to Google Ads. So now you can tell someone's clicked on an ad and they phoned us, or someone's clicked on an ad and they filled out a contact form, and they've clicked on an email, or they've downloaded something, which is great because we're almost there. So we start to understand what we're paying for, and we can say these keywords, these ads, are what drive contacts for us. But it's still not enough. A lot of you will be in essentially what a lead generation business is, which is you want people to contact you, right? And lots of clients that come to us say, yeah, the agency is like really happy because their like conversions are going up and we're getting more emails, but they're rubbish, or they're trying to sell me things. But we don't know that because we're just like, yeah, someone filled in a form, hooray. So the last stage that we try and get every client to is whether it's something like Salesforce or something like some CRM you've built yourself, you can connect all of these things. So you can connect from when someone clicks on an ad to when they fill out a form. That goes into Salesforce as a new lead, and you can see it go through your process. And when they become a customer, Salesforce actually shouts back at analytics and says, yep, they became a customer. So you can then start optimizing your campaign based on what ads and what keywords actually get you customers, not just inquiries. If you're going to run your own Google Ads account, I would implore you, even if you have to pay someone to do it, get the tracking set up and then try and do it yourself. If you're going to try and do it yourself with this and no experience, you are going to burn through money very quickly and have no idea why. When someone says, what did we get for £1,000? It'll be like, I don't know. We got 105 clicks. We've got 20 inquiries. We've got 6 sales. This leads you to the kind of big question, which is you can then decide what you want to pay per conversion or per lead. And everything works backwards from there and it all kind of falls into shape. So you can say, okay, we know that we convert 1 in 4 of our leads and a customer's worth this much to us over 2 years, this much profit, therefore we want to pay X per lead. And then that becomes your definition of success. Because if you don't have that from the beginning, you know, I've gone to clients like so happy because I've seen other markets being like, oh, we got you, you know, new leads for £50. And they're like, I thought it'd be cheaper. And it's like, well, what would you be happy with? And they're like, I don't know, really. Just thought it would be less. So you need to like have this conversation early on with your stakeholders. If you're setting up AdWords accounts, this is just kind of how they're structured. So your campaigns of themes, might be services or products. You want to be really specific. Don't follow Google's advice of 10 to 15 keywords. Make lots of different ad groups that are really specific. Take advantage of these exact matches. So make a whole campaign that's just exact match to begin with, because you're going to be really tight on what you're spending money on. This allows you to control where you want to put your budget. I've just done kind of an example here that you basically want to make sure if you've got really well performing exact match keywords that you're giving the most possible budget to them. You can set up then phrase match, or if you're feeling brave, broader match campaigns to kind of explore. And the reason you need to do that is there's like 20,000 something searches on Google per second, and 1 in 5 of them is unique and has never happened before. So you're never going to be able to catch them all with these exact matches. But if you know that's where the money is, start there and grow it out. Don't do the Google way, which is just try everything and then try and chop it down to size. Keywords Everywhere is a really great tool if you don't know about it. It's free. It's a browser plugin. You can find it just by Googling Keywords Everywhere. Whenever you do a Google search, it will tell you search volumes, roughly how much it will cost per click, what the competition's like, and it will give you other related keywords. It's better than the Google keyword estimator tool, because you need to be spending money really to get good data out of that now. So this just gives it to you off the bat. So lastly, before you get your takeaways, I did say I'd mention Bing. Basically, if you make a Google Ads account that's working well, you can just import it straight into Bing. Bing knows its place. but you'd be surprised. Bing still has a decent amount of traffic. The clicks are cheaper, so we do have clients that actually get a nice return from Bing. So once you're happy with AdWords, just chuck it into Bing as well. And these are the takeaways, which is basically, don't trust Google's automatic settings. You know, the ring only has one master. It's Google, and Google's not your friend. Get tracking set up. There's just like no excuse in 2019 not to do that. You can do it. No matter what your website is, there will be a way to do it. And otherwise, you're kind of defeating the point of the digital marketing, which half the point is it's really trackable and you can work out what's going on. Define what you're willing to pay per action. Focus on exact matches, phrase matches, unlike the broad match Google's going to try and get you to do. Use that Keywords Everywhere thing and import stuff into Bing. I think that's it. Thank you.